Hey guys, this is Totally Not Natalie. I'm the author of the Detective in the Red Dress series, and I just wanted to take this moment to say a couple thank yous to the people who helped make this series possible. A very, very special thank you to Lady Apollo for coming up with this concept. She challenged me to do a noir script, and I'm very happy with the results. I hope the rest of you are too. And her voice and hearing it through all of these chapters, episodes, whatever you want to call them, is just excellent. So thank you so, so much to her. And thank you to everyone else who has taken up this series since I've started it as well. I've loved every rendition of it that I've heard so far. And I'm excited, hopefully, to hear more. Every performer just does such a wonderful job with this and brings their own unique voice and perspective. And it's just absolutely wonderful. So thank you. And a very special thank you as well to everybody who's commented on the series or encouraged me to keep going. This, by far, has been, I think, the most challenging project I've ever done, just in terms of its length and its magnitude, and it's been really helpful and inspiring to get all that awesome positive feedback from you guys. So thank you all so, so much for continuing to support this project. And I do admittedly have a little bit of a noir bug now. So you may see another series from me sooner than you might think.
Hi everybody, this is Lady Apollo. I just wanted to thank you for listening to this series, for supporting both myself and Totally Not Natalie through this entire process. Thank you, Natalie, for writing this, for taking on this giant beast of a challenge. And thank you, listeners, for upvoting and for commenting and having this amazing journey with us. I've learned so much in the process of doing this series. I've grown as a voice actor, I've grown as a production person behind the scenes. I've grown so much with this series, and it feels like my child is going to college. And as Totally Not Natalie said, we do have something in the works. So enjoy the last and final episode of The Detective in the Red Dress.
I was careful not to slam the door as I entered the worst kept secret. I wanted to be as silent as I could. If I was lucky, he would go quietly. I knew that I had to be quick. But that goddamn replica of the Mona Lisa gave me pause. I hated myself for staring. She was only a dumb prop meant to hide the door to the bar. But I'd never liked her. She always seemed so smug with her silly little smile. Whoever Mona was, I doubt she ever faced any real hardship. Girl would probably cry if she broke a nail. At least, I had always thought so. But today, I saw something different in her smile. She no longer looked like a coy little vixen with the world at her fingertips. She looked sad. Her smile was only a clumsy facade. There was a clear pain hidden behind it. A pain that she would never dare speak of. I suddenly realized why the piano man had chosen her. He had always seen her as I saw her now. A girl who had to suffer silently. He liked her because she was like him. He was a man who had to give up what he loved most in the world, and then had to spend every day pretending that it was okay. Normally, I wouldn't have let my emotions get the better of me, but I felt a twang of sympathy. It must have hurt like a bitch. I sighed. I couldn't afford to wait any longer. I kicked Mona off the wall and crawled through the hole behind her. On the other side, I found him softly playing an old Baby Grand. The bar was empty, and he didn't see me enter. At first, I was too struck by his playing to announce myself. Even though I had heard his songs many times before, the melody he was playing tonight was so haunting that it stopped me in my tracks. I guess that he did have some talent in him after all. It was a shame that nobody would ever get the chance to hear it. As his last note died, I called out to him. He turned to me. The look on his face was one of total surrender. He knew why I was there and had no intention of arguing with me. I knew that I should have been relieved that it was going to be easy. But I wished he would fight me. If he argued, I could have just cuffed him and dragged him down to the station. Instead, I had to explain myself to a man who had already lost everything. I sighed and told him that I had gotten a hold of the kid's autopsy report and confirmed my suspicion. The coroner had noted that the boy had been drinking on the night that he was murdered. But I knew that the kid had been stone cold sober when he walked into my office. So, he must have stopped somewhere afterward for a quick drink. The kid didn't know this side of town very well. So we would have stopped at a place that was pretty famous. Maybe the worst kept secret in town. The piano man felt no need to deny it. He just nodded his head. So I continued. I told him that the kid's sister had mentioned that the kid had been an angry drunk. My guess was that the boy started feeling a little too prideful after our tango that night, so he settled down at Worst Kept Secret to celebrate his little victory. After he got a couple beers in him, he probably started criticizing the piano man's playing. And I knew that the piano man was a kind soul. But even he probably couldn't take some rich kid who had been given everything his whole life waltzing into the bar and belittling the sad art of a washed-up musician. It was all just too much for him. So, when the kid left that night, he followed him. And when they got to a quiet corner, the old barkeep took the poor boy's life. The kid was innocent. He probably never saw it coming. The murder was so quick that there weren't any witnesses, and the piano man was able to make it back to the bar before anybody realized that he was gone. I told him that was my theory, at least. Before he could say anything in response, I walked over and grabbed his hand. I glanced down at his palm. It was covered in red paint marks. It wasn't surprising. His hands were always covered in paint since he spent half his day trying to touch up the constantly chipping walls of the bar. But it was still more proof that I was right. I told him that they had found some red marks on the boy's scalp. Same shade as the paint. The police initially thought that the marks were from my lipstick, but I knew better. I had kissed that boy everywhere but his scalp, so those marks had to come from somewhere else. I asked the piano man if he had put those streaks on the boy's head, and he nodded. There was a small glint in his eyes. I could tell that he was a bit amused that he had literally been caught red-handed. It was the type of sick joke that we both would have laughed at on a better day, But at the moment, mirth was a bit beyond both of us. At any rate, it was enough of a confession. I didn't have the heart to make him tell me any more. He could explain everything else to an officer down at the station. I did still have one last question for him, though. It was a question that I knew I shouldn't ask, but also one that I deeply wanted an answer to. I wanted to know why he helped me find the kid's sister. He had to know that she would only help me discover the truth. I couldn't help but wonder if part of him wanted to be caught. However, his answer wasn't what I expected. He told me that he didn't want to spend the rest of his life in prison, but he couldn't stand the thought of me going to jail for a crime I didn't commit. So, he wanted to set things right so that I would be safe. He smiled and told me that it would probably have been easier if he just confessed to the crime. But he just couldn't bring himself to admit what he had done. So, he figured that he would just let me solve the mystery instead. He knew that I would be quick enough to figure it out before the cops decided to book me. I laughed and told him that was a dangerous game to play. He agreed, but said that it worked out in the end. I stared back at him. I wanted to ask him if he did it because he loved me, but I knew that I would hate either answer. So I kissed him instead. Once again, he didn't argue with me. He let me wrap my arms around him and hold him as close as I could. I wished that I could hold him forever, but our time was short. So I knew that I had to enjoy every moment. Once I was done kissing him, he scooped me up in his arms and led me over to the piano bench. I sat on his lap as he played a shy tune with his offhand. I made it my game to distract him. I kissed his lips as hard as I could, but he just kept on playing. Then, I moved on to kissing up and down his neck. I smiled as I heard him gasp and sigh. Still, his fingers wouldn't leave the keys. So I started to bite his neck to really make him moan. Then, I reached down to grab his cock. As I stroked it, I could feel him getting harder and harder. But his playing only got faster and more intense. I knew that he was excited. He made no effort to quiet his groans, but nothing I did was enough to break him. I had to push further. I slid my body underneath the piano and slowly undid the buttons on his pants. With both of his hands now free, his song became stronger and more complex, but I paid it no mind as I slid his cock out of his underwear. I ran it through my fingers for a minute as I heard him moan above me. Then, I gently slid it into my mouth. He gasped in delight as I slowly started bobbing my head up and down. I sighed. I could feel the tip getting wet. I started to bob faster, trying to keep the rhythm of the tune he was playing. I wouldn't let up as I felt him get harder and harder. Then, I started to go even faster, and he quickened his pace on the keys so that his rhythm would match mine. I smiled to myself. He wouldn't stop playing even though I knew that he was close. Good thing that I had no intention of stopping either. I bobbed faster and faster as he rushed to try to keep pace with me. He moaned, but his hands would not leave those keys even as his body started to shake. I shoved his cock deep into my throat. I just needed to push him a little bit more. I applied just a little more pressure, and then he finally came. I moaned as I felt my mouth fill with his wet, sticky cum. He shouted as the notes above me crashed together in a beautiful crescendo. It was pure ecstasy. I waited for the music to finally fade out before crawling up next to him on the piano bench. He tried to look at me, but I only gave him a sad smile. I wasn't ready for it to be over. But I guess he wasn't either, because he leaned over and kissed me. Then he whispered in my ear that he wanted a chance to return the favor. I knew that I should have said no. I'd always promised myself that I would never give myself to anyone. But there was something about his eyes and something about the air that night. I knew that this was our last dance. I told him that he could do whatever he damn well pleased if he let me cuff him first. After all, I couldn't risk him trying to run away while I was at the height of pleasure. He agreed and turned around so I could cuff his hands behind his back. It made me feel at ease. Even if he tried to run, he wouldn't be able to get far looking like that. I knew that I was safe. So I whirled him around again so he could kiss me. I gasped the moment that his lips touched mine. It was the last time, and that made it feel all the more real. He motioned for me to lie down on the piano bench. I did, and he straddled himself over me. He planted another kiss on my lips before leaning down and kissing my neck. I sighed. I was amazed that he could make me squirm so much without even a touch of his hand. He started kissing all down my neck, right to my collarbone. I quickly undid the buttons of my top so that his sweet lips could taste my chest. I moaned as he started to tease the area around my breasts. Just when I thought I couldn't take it anymore, he put his mouth over my nipple and sucked it until it was hard. Then he kissed around the other one before making it hard too. I sighed as he continued down my stomach. And when he finally got to my hips, I slid up my skirt and he pulled my panties off with his teeth. Then he knelt down next to the piano bench and kissed every inch of my sweet pussy. I gasped with delight. By the time he started licking, I was already wetter than I had ever been before. Each stroke of his tongue was pure heaven. It felt so good that I didn't even miss the touch of his hands. As he played with my clit, I felt myself getting wetter and wetter until my body started to shake. I knew that I was getting close. I could feel myself right on the edge. It trembled and gasped. On any other night, I would have fought back, and I would have forced myself not to give in. But tonight was our last night together, and I wanted him more than I had ever wanted anyone before. So I let his tongue dance on my clit. I let him send me into the throes of ecstasy. And I finally gave myself to him as I felt slow waves of pleasure wash over my entire body. I no longer cared if he saw me squirm with delight. It felt amazing. As my excitement died down, I felt every muscle in my body relax. It was as though all the stress I had been feeling for the past few weeks had finally lifted. The mystery had been solved, and I could move on. I stared down at the piano man. I still wished that I didn't have to arrest him. But real life doesn't always have happy endings. And I knew that the kid's family wouldn't rest until the killer had been brought to justice. So, I got dressed and led the old bartender down to the station. I explained his story to the police, since he still didn't have the heart to tell himself. Then I waited for the officers to lead him away in handcuffs before I finally said goodbye. As I watched him walk away, I couldn't help but wonder if I loved him. But I stopped myself thinking about it any further. I knew that I would hate either answer.